Good morning and welcome to Sunday Morning Worship, a broadcast of parts of the worship service at St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts, as it was recorded last Sunday morning and brought to you today to the glory of God. The message this morning is from our senior pastor, Reverend David Riley, and is titled, Born from Above. It's based on the gospel lesson from John chapter 3. Visitors are always welcome to join us here at 60 Broad Street each Sunday at 10 a.m. And now, your friends at St. John's invite you to stay tuned as we worship our great and loving God.
Good morning. It's a joy and delight to welcome you in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus, who is the Christ, on this, the second Sunday in Lent. I invite you to stand as we sing the hymn of invocation, number 616, Baptismal Waters Cover Me. Of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. The Old Testament for the second Sunday in Lent is from Genesis chapter 12. The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you, and I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran. And they set out to go to the land of Canaan. When they came to the land of Canaan, Abram passed through the land to the place at Shechem, to the oak of Moreh. At that time, the Canaanites were in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built there an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he moved to the hill country on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed on, still going toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord. Epistle reading is from Romans chapter 4. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work but trusts him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. For the promise to Abraham and his offspring that he would be heir of the world did not come through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if it is the adherents of the law who are to be the heirs, faith is null and the promise is void. For the law brings wrath, but where there is no law, there is no transgression. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, "I have made you the father of many nations." In the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks. Let us pray. May the meditation of my heart, the words of my mouth, be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. You know, when you think about it, babies really don't know anything about how they are born. Children have no choice in the matter. They are conceived by their parents, carried by their mothers, and brought out of the comfort of the womb, all without giving their consent. They cannot conceive themselves, for there is no one there until conception. Well, the mystery of our spiritual birth is every bit as profound, and we had no more choice or opportunity to become God's spiritual children than we did in becoming our parents' earthly children. We became the spiritual children of our Heavenly Father because Jesus Christ came down from heaven to give us new birth from above. Our gospel text for this morning describes a conversation that took place between Nicodemus and Jesus. Nicodemus represented the best in religious teaching and learning. As a Pharisee, he was accustomed to religious Puritanism, separating himself from the Gentiles and following the law of Moses fanatically. He was a member of the Sanhedrin, and he was a scribe, a rabbi well-learned in all of those Old Testament scriptures. Well, Nicodemus decides to visit Jesus one night under the cover of darkness. Well, why, you may ask, did he decide to come at night? His secret visit was probably because he feared that he would be exposed to the ridicule and the hatred of his fellow Pharisees, or because he thought himself too eminent a person to compromise his dignity by making this visit in public. During the course of their conversation, Jesus is neither flattered nor does he talk down to Nicodemus. Three times Jesus says, I tell you the truth. And twice Nicodemus asks, how? And Jesus adds another how. Nicodemus's questions clearly show his lack of faith at this time. And Jesus' answers clearly show the total necessity and the truth of conversion, a work of God that takes place in a human being. Nicodemus, a son of Abraham, born and circumcised into God's covenant people, he must have assumed that his place in the kingdom was secure. But now, this charismatic rabbi
is telling him that he must be born again. Though Nicodemus is not yet a Christian, he is not ashamed to ask questions. He wonders, how can a human being be born when he is so old? And then, though Nicodemus is not yet a Christian, he still has more questions. And Nicodemus uses the Greek word for physical rebirth, showing that this is what he is thinking that Jesus means. Well, later Nicodemus asks again, well, how can this be? Referring to the power of the Holy Spirit to create faith in a person's heart. Both of Nicodemus' questions are preposterous. These questions show us just how ridiculous conversion appears to powerful human reason, left to its own resources. All of us needed to be reborn from above, because all of us were spiritually dead. We would not even think about God. We would not even move closer to God. We had no place in our hearts for God. As I stated before, a person cannot contribute to his or her own spiritual birth than they did to their physical birth. The Holy Spirit must give the person their new birth. The Spirit does this in the sacrament of holy baptism. And it is important to note that Jesus does not separate the Holy Spirit from that earthly element of water. The water and the Spirit are one indivisible unit. The water in baptism is not merely a symbol. Jesus says that God's Spirit works in the water of baptism to accomplish the new birth. Well, who can understand conversion then? And that is what Jesus will talk about a little bit later. Notice the beautiful symmetry in what Jesus says. Our Savior states, flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. He indicates physical birth of the flesh. And the word flesh describes fallen human nature, totally without any goodness or righteousness. As David writes in Psalm 51, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Flesh, mind, human will, or imagination simply cannot bring about the new birth. Flesh can only give birth to what it is, namely flesh. A stream never rises higher than its source. If it is to be regenerated, then flesh must be acted upon by the Holy Spirit. This, Jesus has just stated, the Holy Spirit does in baptism. Therefore, baptism, a means of grace, causes a person to be spiritual, forgiven, reconciled to God, and a member of the Holy Christian Church through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As the writer of Psalm 121 says, my help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And when Jesus says, you must be born again, means that God wills your conversion, and also that all people are totally unable to help themselves. Both physical birth and conversion are passive experiences. In this world around us, you and I can observe the fact that there is wind, and that it blows, and that it makes a sound. This is common knowledge. Jesus is pointedly telling Nicodemus, you're an educated man, but you cannot explain this physical phenomenon. Of course, that's true of all people. Even the most educated meteorologist, they merely observe and record the movements of the clouds and the winds. But what Jesus says here is true, and it will be that way until the end of time. Our Lord uses an analogy for the mystery of the Holy Spirit working in our lives by comparing it to the wind, whose sound we hear and whose reality we feel, yet whose coming and going we simply cannot explain. Jesus points out that the work of the Holy Spirit in creating saving faith happens wherever and whenever God pleases, without the invitation or the consent of any person. Our Lord makes the point that the believer knows the Holy Spirit has been at work in his or her life by the very fact that he or she believes. The work of regeneration reveals itself in visual evidence. It shows the life of the converted person. But regeneration itself is a very profound mystery. It is totally a work of God, including the gift of saving faith. Regeneration takes place on this earth in the hearts of all believers, even though it is a creative act of God. Christ takes earthly things like water, bread, wine, and imperfect flesh and blood people and makes them instruments and means of his amazing grace. He blesses his church with the heavenly things through the voice of holy absolution, the water of holy baptism, and the bread and wine of Holy Communion. Our Lord now shifts the discussion to those heavenly things, and he refers to himself alone, not because John the Baptizer had no knowledge of heavenly things, but because Jesus alone can testify as one who has seen them directly. He speaks of the mysteries concerning his own person and of the gracious counsel and purposes of God. With the heavenly things, our Lord alludes to the atonement, that is, the act motivated by the heavenly and eternal love of God and accomplished on the earth. It was done for us who are of the earth by the humiliated and exalted Son of God who is from heaven. Jesus was in heaven before the earth was created. All he needed to do was come down from heaven. Human beings could not rise up to God, so God descended down to human beings by means of the miracle of the incarnation. Jesus identifies himself as the Son of Man to emphasize the fact that he, the divine Son of God, assumed human flesh, became a human being like you and like me to bring about the eternal salvation of all humankind. Like the great Old Testament patriarch Abraham, you and I had no idea of a new and better place to live until Jesus Christ came and called us to new life. Like the Israelites dying of snake bites in the wilderness, we were all doomed until God raised up his Son to die on the cross. The snake in the wilderness, like so many other signs in the Old Testament, found its full meaning in the person and work of the Son of God, who became a living, breathing human being. When Jesus was lifted up on the cross, he provided salvation for all people. In John chapter 12, our Savior says, "And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to show by what kind of death he was going to die. And when Jesus says in our gospel text for today, "Whoever believes," it is like a blank check signed by God himself. Jesus invites Nicodemus to write in his own name. And he invites each one of you to write in your own name as well. Eternal salvation is always an individual matter. We are reborn from above so that we might live a new life. Whoever looks to Jesus in faith is made alive in and through Him. And the best part is that this life goes on forever. Death is only a transition from life in this world to life in the next. Being reborn from above leads us regularly to repent and return to God. As Luther says in his explanation of holy baptism in the Small Catechism, it indicates that the old Adam in us should, by daily contrition and repentance, be drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new man should daily emerge and arise to live before God in righteousness and purity forever. Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, "We were buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Being reborn from above moves us to live our new lives in the worship of God and in the service of others. Dear friends in Christ, Nicodemus represents people of any age who express curiosity about Jesus and the message of God's saving word. He was curious about Jesus' person. He questioned how a person could be born again. He wondered about the workings of the Holy Spirit. And in every case, Jesus directed him to the essential matters of salvation. The Son of God came down from heaven at Christmas to fulfill His mission on Good Friday. Jesus makes clear that salvation is a gift, for the Son of God is Himself a gift that God gave. Jesus came down to earth to save us, thereby giving us new birth and new life from above. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
We remain standing for our closing hymn, "Lord, Thee I Love with All My Heart."
You've been listening to a broadcast of the worship service from St. John's Lutheran Church in Westfield, Massachusetts. If you wish to contact us or would like to learn more about the Christian faith, please call 413-568-1417 or visit us at stjohnswestfield.org. God's blessings to you.
Go in Lent in peace and joy. Amen.